Sefer Shoftim, we do permission. Sefer Shoftim, chapter 7. In the middle of the story of a Shofet, his name was Gidon, and he was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and save Israel from the nation, mainly Midian. So we do permission, chapter 7, sentence 1. Reshkim Yerubal Hu Gidon. He had a nickname, but his name really was Gidon, but he had a nickname Yerubal. The name Yerubal comes from two words. If you take the middle letter of the word Yerubal and you double it, it's like Yariv Baal. He was fighting the Baal, Avodah Zarah, and therefore they gave him a name Yerubal. So Navi tells us that Yerubal, this is Gidon, got up early in the morning, v'chol ha'am asher ito, and they're going to take revenge or to just get rid of Midian that gave a hard time to Am Yisrael. So they got up in the morning, this after HaKadosh Baruch Hu already sent an angel to tell Gidon that he is going to save Am Yisrael, and after also Gidon himself tested himself and ask signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be sure that he is the chosen one. He does not imagine it, that he is really the new leader of Am Yisrael. So after he got those messages and he cleared himself that he really was the one that was chosen to save Am Yisrael, then he tells us he got up early in the morning, he and the nation around him, ויחנו עליהם מחאות המחנה למיין עליהם מצפון, היה לו מצפון לגבעת המורה בעמק. He dwelled, he camped right next to Enharod, and חכמים say this is not far from today's Enharod, this is in עמק Israel, this is in the valley next to Beit Shean in ארץ ישראל today. ויאמר השם אל גדעון רב העם אשר איתך. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Gidon and told him the people that you drafted, the coming along with you, only from three tribes he took, there are so many people. Meditate Midian b'yadam, that I would give Midian in their hand. Penit prayer ala Yisrael emor yadi Yoshiali. I'm afraid if you're taking this kind of an army with you, you're going to win the war against Midian, the soldiers will have too much pride. And they will say, we won the war because we are a very good army. Therefore, I don't think you should take all those people along with you because I don't want them to become proud. Now, I want you to announce in the ears of the nation, whoever is afraid, Yeshuv Yitzpom Me'ar Gilad, he should come back and go back to his camp, to his territory, because he's afraid. Yashuv Min'am 22,000. So 22,000 people left right away. So it's unbelievable that he said it's the 22,000. I mean, he didn't have too many people altogether, only 32,000. But 22, they heard this announcement, everybody's scared, 22 left right away. 10,000 people were left. Again, this was according to the demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are too many. And this was the announcement. Remember Hashem Gidon, Od Ha'am Rav, still the 10,000 people, still too many. Already Otam Elamai, take them down to the river. I'm going to purify it, that means I'm going to separate, and I'm going to tell you who from those 10,000 is going to go for the war. ויאשר אומר אליך, זה ילך איתך, ואם אני אצל you, this one will go with you, הוא ילך איתך, he's going to go with you. וכל אשר אומר אליך, זה לא ילך עם אך, הוא לא ילך. ואם אני אצל you, he shouldn't go, he shouldn't go. ויאר את העם אל המים. So he took the whole 10,000 people to the water, to the river, ויאמר השם אל גדעון, הרי זה מרות של גדעון, this is a test. כל אשר ילוק בלשונו מן המים, ואם he's going to drink water. כאשר ילוק הכלב, like the dog drinks, it means it doesn't bend down. When dog drinks water from the river, it just puts his head. But he does not bend down on his knees to drink water. Wherever he's going to drink water the way that the dog drinks, put him aside. Wherever he's going to lean on his knees to drink water, I had to put him aside. In the Sparam Ladikim B'Adam Al-Pim 300 Inch, only 300 people did not bend down. B'chol Yeter Am Karu Al-Mekim, the rest of the nation bent down on the knees, he shot man to drink water. ומה שמגידו משלוש מאות האיש שמלקקים הושיע אתכם and 300 people they just licked the water without bending the knees without being on the knees to drink and so he said מיליון מידיך מיליון I'm going to give מיליון in your hand וכל הים הלכו ישים כמו the rest 9,700 should go back home. We spoke about this last week that this is something very important that the Chachamim say that this is really a proof that you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much and you use your knees just to bend down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was a test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said only those are going to take part in the war because those are the ones that really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As I said last week, it's a major thing. Even if you want to bend down in your house and something fell underneath your table, you should not rest your knees on the floor. And if you do have to, there's no other way, you should have in your mind, I'm doing it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. I'm not, even though I'm not bending down really, I'm just trying to get something from the floor. Or like those people just drank now. They didn't have any mind to do Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, the Navi said, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gidon, they cannot participate in the war, because they use their knees to drink water. Obviously, as Chachamim said, what it means is that you don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. Because knees were given to us only to bend down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like angels don't have knees because they don't bend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person, a human being, a people who gave him knees to bend down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gidon. This is the people that is going to win the war, only the 350. So the rest of Am Yisrael went back, from 32,000, only 300 were left, and those are the ones that people said they're going to win the war. You don't need 300, I mean, this sounds like a joke already. So if you don't need 32,000, you don't need 300. I mean, the whole thing is nothing. I mean, talking about, soon you're going to see the description of the enemy, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of soldiers. That's something that the Navi is going to tell us that you couldn't count the people, how many soldiers. So you don't need 300, so you don't need anybody. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to take 300. They're going to Da Ambi Adam, so they take the food from the 10,000 people. The 9,700 people that went back, from those 9,700, they said, give me the food that you had in order for me to take it along to the war. So what's so important about it? I mean, we'll see later. Maybe it is important, but why the Navi has to tell us this? So they said, the Navi tells us that those 300 people went to the 9,700 and they took from them the food, the sandwiches, so they prepared for themselves and they took it. Those 10,000 people brought shofarot with them. They brought the shofar, it wasn't for Rosh Hashanah, it was for the war. So the 300 people went to the 9,700 and said, can I take your shofar away? Can I take it for me? In order for all the 300 people, as Chachamim say, should have, each one should have a shofar. So now they have their own lunch, and each one has a shofar. But then after they borrowed, they took the shofarot from those 9,700 people, and they took the food, then Elami says, Ve'et kol ish Yisrael shalach yishlo olav. Then Gidon went and told the 9,700 people to go home to the tent. Mishlosh mot ish asik, 300 people, you stay over here, and we're going to win the war with you. Machaneh Midyan ayalo mitachat ba'emek, he looks downstairs, and he sees in the valley, the camp of Midyan. Ve'i ba'layla hu, at night, Ve'yomer alav Hashem, kum red ba'machaneh kishatzi b'yodecha. Hashem tells him, listen, go down, you're winning the war. If you're afraid to go, what do you mean if you're afraid to go? I mean, God tells you to go, you don't, there's such thing, God doesn't give you an option. God doesn't tell you to say, listen, go over there, but if you don't want to go, there's no such thing. If Hashem tells you to go, you go. Hashem does not leave you an opening or a doubt. doubt is Yetzirah. Hashem tells you something, and Yetzirah tells you, say, maybe yes, maybe not. Open this, close it, do it, don't do it. But Hashem usually doesn't tell a person. You don't find in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a way out. It says, okay, but if you don't believe, if you don't want to do this, let me tell you what to do. There's no such thing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives you a command. There's no gray area by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you instruction. Do this. Hashem doesn't tell you, if you don't want to put tefillin, then I tell you what to do. If Hashem tells you to go, you go. Hashem doesn't tell you, if you don't want to go, if you're afraid, what do you mean afraid? You told me to go, I have to go. That's a test. That's a test, this is a command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to someone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not tell someone, I'm telling you do this, but if you're afraid to do it, let me tell you something else. This is not such thing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is people's language. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's language. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give you an option. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not beg you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a command. And the command is to go. He says, Gidon, please go down, you're winning. He says, Vim yare atar aredet, if you're afraid. What do you mean if you're afraid? If you told me to go, I'm going. There's no such thing if I'm afraid. What do you mean I'm afraid? Suddenly, atar ufuran archa el amachane, red atar ufuran, send and send with your permission. Vim yare atar aredet, if you're afraid to go, red atar, go down ufuran archa el amachane. Please, if you're afraid to go and attack them, you should go down, you and your helper, to the camp downstairs. Sentence 11, Veshamata Amayidaberu. You should listen what they're talking. You should be like a spy. And you go down, I don't know exactly how come it's not the place to go there. How can you be a spy? I mean, you can't be a spy without being scared. How can you be a spy? I mean, the leader of Israel, can you imagine? The Prime Minister of Israel is going now, he's going to go now to where? To Gaza. Yeah, tell Sharon to go to Gaza. To listen what our part is planning to do the next step. So he's afraid, he's afraid. He says, no, if you're afraid, I tell you what, take your helper and go down and you listen what they're talking. But after you can hear what they're talking, then you're going to be very brave and you feel very strong. Then you go down. So David, that's what he did. He took his helper, his name was Pura, and they went just to the edge of the camp. So this is a description of how many soldiers and how big the camp was. Sentence 12, with your permission, Midian Amalek, like grasshoppers. Somebody is going to ask you how many soldiers, it says grasshoppers. Levenigmalem and Mispar. If you want to know how many camels, you couldn't count the camels. Kachol shasatayam larov. It says the people, the soldiers, and the camels are like grasshoppers, like the sand on the beach. You should know that the Navi does not exaggerate. This is a Navi. It was written, Ruach HaKodesh Roshmuel HaNavi. He says, if you want to know who do you have to fight, says you have to fight unbelievable number of soldiers, unbelievable numbers of camels that they carry those soldiers. Impossible to win them anyway. So the Navi, by Abu Gidon, that's where he took the option. And first he went down to the edge of the camp, but then they explain, it doesn't say Vayavu Gidon and his helper, only himself. Vayavu Gidon and Ish Nisapel Ochalom. So he goes inside and says it's a dream, a dreamer. He says he hears two soldiers talking to each other. One says, I had a dream last night. He says, what did you have a dream? I mean, Echalom Chalamti. Sounds, I don't know, sounds like, what do you call it, Fuki, I mean, it's magic, I mean, it's nonsense, I mean. I mean, this is what he expects to have. Says the guy is afraid to have a war. So he's going downstairs. He's going to have the two soldiers are talking, and one has a dream. I says that's how he's going to convince me. I says you go down there. You want to know what those people are talking. Say one is to say I had a dream. So you're going to see what the Navi says about what dream. This dream is going to convince me. A dream is going to convince me. So if Gidon is listening, he comes inside the camp. I don't know how they didn't recognize him. I don't understand how they didn't recognize him. I mean, a stranger comes into the camp and walks inside the camp and listening to soldiers. And the soldiers talking to each other. And one says to his friend, I had a dream. He says, Vayom Yineh Halom Chalamti, I had a dream. Yineh Tzlil Lechem Tzorim Tapech Machaneh Midyan. I had a dream that like a bread that's made from barley is turning around. In the camp. This bread was rolling itself, was jumping, and came to the tent. came to the tent and hit the tent. That's his dream. That's like a loaf of bread is running on the street and rolling on the street, rolling till he hits the tent. That he hit the tent, they are killed, but he pulled the tent falling apart, but he fell lemala and follow the whole tent upside down. That's a dream. The soldier is telling his friend, this is a very strange dream. That all the soldiers are saying, Rufa Shlema. I said, you need a psychiatrist. What kind of nonsense is this? So the Gidom is listening to the dream. Ryan Rovayom answered with Team Sheriff Gidom and Yashi Israeli. No, the guy said, you know what I think? I think that's the sword. I said, the bread is a sword. It says the sword of Gidom. Two soldiers talking, and already they know the name of this guy. This guy was just appointed. I mean, I don't know if they had the chance to hear about him. He was just appointed, I don't know if it's a day or two, a few days, that he became the shofet, but he hears that the other soldiers, he knows how to interpret dreams. He tells him, that bread is the sword of Gidom. Natana elokim beyadot midyam. He said, what it means is, the bread came to the camp, and what you saw in the dream, that the bread hit the tent, and the tent broke and turned over. It says, what it means, God is going to give Midian in the hands of Gidon. That's the end. So he's standing over there, Gidon is listening to two soldiers talking. One is having a dream, the other one interprets the dream. Then Gidon heard the story and the Chivro and how the other guy interpreted it by Yishtachu. Right away, he bowed down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'eshev Machadim Yisrael. Went back to the camp. Remember Kumu, says he got up, the 300 people, he told the 300 people, get up. I'm sure now we're winning. The 300 people, we're going to win. How are you going to win? He says, I heard the dream. Okay. Then he divided the Shlosha Modi, Shlosha Rashim. He decided to divide him to three parts. I don't know why it's divided to three parts. But maybe you're going to find out later. It's really irrelevant right now. I mean, we know the whole thing is a joke right now. Because after the description, how many people are there and how many cameras are there, it doesn't matter how many people you're going to have, you can win them. So you don't have to do anything. I don't know what you have to do. But you can't have anything to do with a war, with the fight that you're preparing yourself for a fight, because it just doesn't make sense. But then he tells us that Gidon decided, and he took the 300 people, and decided to divide into the three groups. And then Shofar Bihav Kula, that's a very nice thing, to take a Shofar, I don't know why. But maybe he learned it from Yoshua, maybe. Kadim Rekim gives them empty pitchers. Velapidim betoch HaKadim. Torches inside the pitcher. Torches on the fire, yeah. So Rashi said, in order, Lapidim, Rashi said to remind about Zuchut Matan Torah. I don't know what it means exactly, we'll get to it later. So let's read it. That's how they do. It says, you take the shofar and you take empty pitchers. Into the empty pitcher, you put the torch. You put the torch inside the pitcher. What's the purpose? You see, it says, you listen, look at me, and then you follow my behavior. I'm coming towards the edge of the camp. Whatever I'm going to do, you're going to do. I'm going to blow the shofar. Me, and whatever is with me, I'm going to blow the shofar, and all of you, the 300 people, you blow the shofar, and you scream, La'ashem ole Gidon. Hashem's name, and Gidon is going to do what Hashem wants him to do. So that's why he tells them to take a shofar, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to blow the shofar. He said he's not coming tonight, so we started. I'm sorry, but they really couldn't wait anymore. Dr. Freya was here, we started. ויבוא גדעון ומאה האיש אשר איתו בקצה המחנה, so גדעון took 200 people. ראש השמורה התיכונה. So the Gemara learned at night, it's a מחלוקת the Gemara. Gemara is a מחלוקת upstairs in Shamaim they are soldiers. And upstairs in Shamayim, the night is divided, Machloket Nagim Gemara Masechet Brachot, either to three groups or four groups. It means like this. Upstairs in Shamayim, I don't know when you learn the Gemara Masechet Brachot, I don't know what it sounds like, but it says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is upstairs, Shalosh Mishmarot Aralayla, Arba Mishmarot Aralayla. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over there and he's roaring like a lion every time there is a change in that part of the night. So the Gemara says there are at least three parts of the night. You divide the night into three parts. The beginning of the night is one part, and then the middle of the night is another part, and towards the morning is the third part. It's called Mishmeret Rishona, Mishmeret Tichona, Mishmeret Achrona. The Gemara said, one Chacham said, no, it's four, it's not three, four. Okay. I said, what's the necessity upstairs? What's going on upstairs that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to change so-called the angels upstairs? As the soldiers, so-called the angels upstairs, are being changed. Like when you have, if you went to England and you saw what's going on over there in the front of the palace. Buckingham, it's called Buckingham? Okay. So you see the soldier change? You ever go to England, you saw how nice it is, when they changed the march, I said the same thing as upstairs. Upstairs in Shamayim, every night. Every night the angels change positions. They change three times a night they change. Or the Gemara says four times. The Gemara, how do you know three, four? It says here, let's pass to sentence 19. In the beginning of the middle or the center part of the night. It means, it says, tell you a story. Story. It says, you have to know information. The war against Midian is going to start in a minute. Gideon chose 100 people from the 300 people, and he is going to attack, but he is coming in the camp in the middle part of the night. The death part of the night is significant of the part. Again, it's not part of the night that we decide here. The middle part of the night is that what's going on upstairs. It means the night is being divided for three groups. Why? Because in Shamayim, upstairs in Shamayim, next to Kisei HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divides the night for three sections. In every section, you have different angels singing over there and doing the job. It means there are three groups of angels that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each group in a different part of the night. And let me emphasize, you should know that Gideon is going to enter the camp in the middle part of the night. Again, I emphasize, we have to understand, the Navi is not a story. It's not a history, and it's not something for you to just to learn it as something that happened. The Gemara learns from it halachot. The Gemara brings that you should know at night time, you have three parts of the night from that pasuk. It says, so what's the significance? Why do you have to know it? When did Gideon go and enter that camp? What does it make? Who cares about it? He says, you want to tell me that you're going to attack? Tell me. No, he says, first of all, he divided the people that he had to three groups. He takes one group, and he takes them, and he's going with them into the camp, but you should know this was in the middle of the night, but not exactly midnight. It means Rosh Hashmoneh Tichona, in the beginning of the second part of the night. Achakim, Hikim with the Shomrim, in sentence 19, with your permission in the middle, right when Gideon took the 100 people and he just started to march into the camp, they woke up the guards by Tzuba Shafarot. They blew the Shafar, they nafot HaKadim HaShem Yadav, they broke the pitchers. They broke the pitchers. This is why they broke the pitchers. It says, Gideon told them, each one should have a pitcher. Inside the pitcher, you should have this torch. It says, you do whatever I do. It says, he marched into the camp, he blew the shofar, they all blew. Then all of them took the pitchers and brought them. So why you broke the pitcher? Oh, he said, it means that this has made noise. To make noise, you don't have to break pitcher. Then the rest of the people, the 200 people, they were behind on the other side, started to blow the shofar as well. Vayishberu HaKadim, all of them broke the pitchers. They all broke the pitchers. So what's the purpose of playing the pitchers now? On the left hand, they were holding the torches. They had the shofarot, on the right hand, they were holding the shofar, to blow. They scream, a sword to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Tegidon. And that's the war. They were standing. They didn't do anything. They were standing by around the camp. They just broke the pitchers, screaming and blowing the shofar. In the meantime, the camp, the whole camp, started to run around. They started to scream. They started to run away. And they continued to blow the 300 shofarot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that they got so confused that each of them started to kill his own friend. The whole thing was just a confusion that they're fighting each other, they're killing each other. In the meantime, everybody is running and killing each other. So those 300 people just scared them away and just blew the shofar. In the meantime, they all got so scared, they're running and they're killing each other. Panic. It means that really the 300 people really is nothing. I mean, the whole thing is a joke. I mean, you can have it from one person for 200 people. It doesn't make a difference. If it's like we told Gidon to take 300 people, and that's what Gidon told them. Again, we don't know why he told them. It doesn't say Akhobo told him to do that, but that's what he decided. He decided to go and to do this kind of a trick. The question is, why did he choose to do such a trick? And how do you know this trick is going to do the job? And he's not fighting, he's not attacking, he's standing on the spot, he's blowing the shofar, they break the pitchers, and in that second they broke the pitchers, and they scream, Cherev L'Hashem Gidon, says, sword for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Gidon, it says the whole confusion, the panic started, and they won the winning of the war. And then the rest of the people started to run and chase them. Then Gidon immediately sent messengers to Ephraim, make sure that you own the part of the Jordan River and the part of all the rivers and the wells, in order either not to have water for the soldiers or to have control on them. But it's a coalition, Ephraim sent this 24, in the middle of the deprimation, everybody drafted by Kedua, Tamayim, Albed, Barabat, and they controlled the water. They were able to capture two of the ministers, or two of the big officers of Midian. The name was Orev and Zeev. They killed Orev and Zeev. But means the translation is a crow and a wolf, but really those are the names of those two officers, the fool Midian, the chasing Midian, the Rosh of Zeev. They chased them towards Midian, and in the meantime Gidon was on the west side of the Jordan River, and they brought the heads of those two officers to Gidon. I'd like to continue just a few more psukim with your permission, and this will be able to understand something. What is really the description of this war necessary to be brought in Sefer Shoftim, and what's the idea that he is winning the war, something so great and big, without any soldiers? What is the secret of that war? Chapter 8, with your permission, sentence 1, Vayomru el Avi Shefraim, mad about the Asita Lanu, what did you do to us? Lefi Korot Lanu? You didn't call us to fight with you. Kerata Yilachim Emnyan, you went to fight with Midian. Yevini Toto Chizkar, they started to fight with him. Not fight, hand fight, but means it was not to have a quarrel with him. How come he did not tell us to come and help you? What did you try to do? What did I do to you? I tell Lachem, now to you. It means it's like a sentence. It's better to have not good grapes than from the best of Aviezer. That was his family. It means he's trying to make himself very small compared to the tribe of Ephraim. And he says, what are you trying to say? I didn't call you to fight with me. You do a better job than me. You're much better than me. I'm a nothing. In your hand, could I do a job like you did? You captured the two officers of Midian. I could not have done it. You're much better than me. He just, you know, was very humble. The truth, he was very humble. But he meant it. He meant, I'm a nothing. So why are you complaining? I did not call you to participate in the war. You did a very great job. At the end, I called you. You did, at the end, such a job, nobody else could have done it. As Ratahu Ham, then they left him alone. With the word about it. Gidon came and is going to cross the Jordan River. Overu is crossing. The 300 people, after they were standing over there, now they're running a little bit, so they became very tired from the running. He comes to the place it's called Sukkot. He says to the people in Sukkot, Nuna kikrot lechem la'am asher beraglai. They're likely to give some bread to the people that coming along with me. Kiyaritim, they're very tired. Ve'anokhi, and I am running, Rodef, Acharei Zevach v'Talmunah Malchei Midian. It says, first they killed the two officers of Midian. The name were Ze'ev and Orev. Now, he's crossing the Jordan River, towards the east side of the Jordan River, and he's going all the way to Midian. Midian is where Iran is. So he's going to Iran. Don't worry, you won't there. So Gideon is chasing the army of Midian. He is on the way to capture the two kings of Midian. He tells the people that live in Sukkot, the Jewish people, he say they live on the other side of the Jordan River. That's a question. No, maybe just before the Jordan River. I'm sorry, maybe before the Jordan River. Tell them, I need some bread for my soldiers because I'm going to get the two kings. The name of the kings is Zebach and Talmunah. Yeah, but it's not this. The place in the desert, Sukkot in the desert, this was in the Sinai desert. That's completely in the other direction. This is southeast, southwest. And this is next to the Jordan River. So you have Mr. Sukkot, the ministers of Sukkot, the officers from the city over there, did you ever catch them? Why are you so proud of yourself? You say, give them bread, I'm going to catch. What do you mean, give them bread? You're not going to catch them. We're not going to give you bread. They don't want to give them bread. Therefore, I'm going to catch them. Akadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me those two kings of Midian. I'm going to come back and take the thorns. And I'm going to take the thorn and prick you with a thorn. How come you did not want to support the army that's going to chase and catch the two kings of Midian? But they didn't give him bread. He goes to the city Pnuel. He talks to them like this. And you told Ashek Noel, Ashek Noel said the same thing. He told them, I'm going to catch the two kings. And they said, how are you going to catch them? I'm not giving you without giving you bread. Jewish people see 300 hungry soldiers. They don't want to give them sandwiches. When I come back, you see there's a tower over here. I'm going to destroy this tower. And then, at the end, the Nabi is going to tell you that he did chase them and he did caught them, he did catch them. At the end, he came back and he punished the people of Sukkot and he punished the people of Noel. He killed them also. Now he says like this. He says that we say every day in 18, it says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The Gemara says, that's a shekness of Gdola, when they made the 18, they made Pilat Lachash, they said we have to mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Gemara says, that every bracha that we say, we have to say Melech HaOlam. somebody wants to say bracha, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Amoti Lechem Min Haaretz, this Gemara is not a bracha. Kol bracha she'en b'Hashem Malchut, en a bracha. Every bracha is to say, Baruch Ata Hashem, and then you have to say, Melech HaOlam, the King of the World. If you don't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the King of the World, says the Gemara, the bracha is not considered bracha. It's not bracha, it's bracha levatala. Every time you say bracha, you have to say, Melech HaOlam. Melech HaOlam means Malchut, excuse me, Kingdom of God. If you don't say this, if you say any bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, without Melech HaOlam, it's not bracha. Say Chachamim, excuse me, he says 18. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avotenu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, doesn't say Melech HaOlam. Where's Melech HaOlam? He just said you can say Melech HaOlam. He says, Yidei 18, it is no Melech HaOlam. There are other brachot as well, it's no Melech HaOlam, but we'll get to it. But the Rishonim ask this, Masechet Brachot, missing Melech HaOlam, which is Star 18, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Elokei Avotenu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Without Melech HaOlam, the Gemara said, is no bracha. If bracha, if you skip those two words, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Bitatet Matitit, nothing. Baruch Ata Hashem, Aniach Tfilin, nothing. You have to say, Melech HaOlam, the King of the World. So the Gemara, without the sentence, is no bracha. As the Chachamim, if that's the case, Lachash, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Again, you can find other brachot missing the word Melech HaOlam, etc. But they have explanation. But for 18, they say like this. Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avotenu. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak ve'Elokei Yaakov. Say Elokei Avraham, it says Avraham was the first one that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king. So therefore, when we say Elokei Avraham, it's not necessary to say Melech HaOlam. Elokei Avraham is comparable to Melech HaOlam. Because Avraham Avinu made HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. So when you refer to Melech, you can say Melech, also you can say Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, Elokei Avraham, God of Avraham, doesn't mean only the God of Avraham, it says means the King of the World. So the Chachamim, this is the Kavanah you should have in 18. When you say 18 and you pray 18, it says Elokeinu, Elokei Avotinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, doesn't mean only God of Avraham, God of Yitzchak, God of Yaakov, it means also something else. It means the King of the World, that I recognize him as the King of the World because of Avraham. So Chachamim add, I also recognize God as the King of the World through Yitzchak. I also recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the King of the World through Yaakov Avinu. As the Gemara says, En Avot Ela Shlosha. Only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are considered to be king, to be our fathers, because they revealed HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the King of the World. So there is the Chachamim that this is really not only we say it in 18, when we start 18, we say, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, in order to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is something that, this is the zechut of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's what the Torah says, Rak ba'avotecha chashak. It says, this is parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. But he loves you because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the whole world, Shmei HaShemayim, Haaretz, everything he owns, but he chose your great-grandfather, says Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says, because they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the World. The matter says like this. Avraham Avinu, by being inside the fire, and recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the World. Therefore, he was thrown into the fire by Nimrod, saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Midrash, this gave Avraham Avinu power over fire. Power over fire. It means not only Avinu was saved from the fire, it says now, if you, as a grandchild of Avraham Avinu, you want to be saved from a fire, it says this is the chut of Avraham Avinu. If somebody, Chas Shalom, wants to burn you, it says there's a choice, there's a chance you'll be able to escape from a fire. It says this is the chut of Avraham, that he survived the fire because he recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the King of the World. The Midrash, Yitzchak Avinu, because he was ready to give his life and to be slaughtered with a sword, that gave us an edge on a sword. Somebody that Chas V'Shalom is in a trouble or in a situation, Chas V'Shalom is afraid that a metal can hit him, he says, you have a chance to survive. He says, you want 100% Chas V'Shalom get punished with the sword, because the zchut of Yitzchak Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, says the Gemara Midrash, the fight that he had next to the city Pnuel with the angel, Saro Shel Ezav, and he overcome the angel. He says the emunah that Yaakov Avinu had, this not just the Torah tells you a story. Listen, Parashat Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu met an angel, fought with an angel. It's just to tell you that even an angel sometimes has an order, a command to execute somebody or to go and exercise an order of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a power to be saved. You can't run away from an angel. You may escape from a gzerah. This is the Ram Tzachin Yaakov. It's not just Ram Tzachin Yaakov that you mention Ram Tzachin Yaakov because they are the great grandfathers. This is also the power that they established is for us to overcome hard times. Bishut Avraham Avinu, you'll be saved from a fire. Bishut Yitzchak Avinu, you'll be saved from a sword. Bishut Yaakov Avinu, you'll be saved even from bad and of his bad angels. As a matter of fact, this is really one of the reasons. It says that Avraham Avinu went to Akedat Yitzchak, says that the Torah that Avraham Avinu took in his hand fire and a sword. What it means is that I have a power over the fire. I have a power over the sword. It says, Akedat Yitzchak was giving to Avraham Avinu as a test, but really the test was if you can overcome that thing is called the sword. This is if an enemy comes and tries to kill you with a sword, you can survive. It says, because the sword of Yitzchak Avinu. An enemy is going to throw a fire on you, you can survive the sword of Avraham Avinu. If a bad angel comes, if Satan comes, Malchus comes, you can survive the Yaakov Avinu. That's the whole story about Gidon, that Gidon was the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the spark of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us something, says Zari. And it says, when Gidon drafted the 32,000 people, Hashem said, too many people, send home whoever is afraid. So whoever is afraid means he doesn't trust God. He says, send them home. Okay, we have 10,000 people left. Let's take the 10,000, let's take them to the water. Let's see who is really believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, those people didn't put the knees on the floor. It means they believe in God. They believe in God. It says, it's because you bow down with your knees only to the king. It says, you realize who is the king, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, okay, don't. So he takes 300 people. Says Dari, you don't divide them for three groups. Therefore, in Shamayim, says Dari, also they have three paths at night. There's Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. It says, in order to be saved, I have to be saved in the world from three things. From a fire, from a sword, and from the bad angel that he represents that nation, or a bad entity that flies around. This is really the shofar. Is the horn, it's the first time it says the horn in the Torah, is Ayin Shel Yitzchak. So that's why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, is to remind about Akedat Yitzchak. It says the shofar, blowing the shofar, is to be saved from a sword. And that's why Gidon tells them to go each one to bring a shofar and blow the shofar. So the shofar is going to remind you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zchut Yitzchak Avinu. The lapid is the ash, is the torch. Says Dari, that's the fire. It says to be saved from a fire, Zchut Avraham Avinu. Says the pitcher, Zchut Yaakov Avinu. And if you remember, Yaakov Avinu, it says Yaakov Avinu forgot the pitcher. On the other side of the Jordan River. This was in Pnuel. This is the place that the Navi says over here that Gidon is running and he's stopping those two places that Yaakov Avinu stopped. Yaakov Avinu stopped at Sukkot, in Parashat Vayishlach, and at Pnuel. These two places. That's the whole story about Gidon. Yaakov Avinu wants to prove that you are going to win the war not because you're Zchut, but because Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. This is why Yaakov Avinu tells Gidon, are you afraid? Is because Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. Torah tells us, "Vayira Yaakov mod vayetzer lo." It says, when was he afraid? He was afraid also in the dream. And Midrash says, when Yaakov Avinu had the dream, he saw the angels going up. And he saw, when Midrash says, he saw an angel that represents Babel going up. He saw an angel that represents Yavan grows up. He saw an angel that represents Edom, Rome grows up. So he saw all of them falling down. And Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, can you climb? He said, I'm scared. Hashem said to Gidon, you know what? If you're scared, it means you don't trust me the way Yaakov Avinu did not trust me. The Gemara said also was a lack of trust. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, you don't trust me 100%. I saw you do crime. Yaakov said in a dream, I don't trust. And God told Gideon, you know what, that's something? You go down over there, you listen. He said, okay, let me listen. So he goes down, he listens to two soldiers talking. He says, I have a dream! He says, oh! He says, Bari, dream of Yaakov Avinu. He says, look, this is a dream, you are scared in the dream. He says, look, what's going on? Listen to the dream. He says, two soldiers are talking. One says, I have a dream, a very, very strange dream. Bread is rolling. There's a camp, there's a tent. The bread is hitting the tent. Like I said, Gideon is coming. He says, I mean, Gideon is a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a spark of Avraham and Yaakov. He says, I mean, that's a secret how to win a war. He says, it's not just a war between enemies. It's just any atzlacha, anything, any success that you need. You should not say, Atabu, help me. It's like, Kol HaTolel B'Tzchut Atzmo, Tolim Lo B'Tzchut Achazim. Anything that you wish to do, never say, God, do it for me. It says, Aseh Leman Avraham, Aseh Leman Yitzchak, Aseh Leman Yaakov. It says, the Zechut of Avot HaKadoshim. This is in 18, when we start 18, we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's not just to mention that I'm a grandson of them. He says, I want you to listen to my prayer, to my shmonesra, to my lachash, b'zchut Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. He says, the z'chut Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov is the z'chut that's going to save me from all the bad times that I might have. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Gideon, I don't need those 32,000, I don't even need the 10,000. I need 300. He says, why do you need 300? He says, 100 for Avraham, and if you talk 100 for Yaakov. He says, Gideon said, don't do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. Just stand on your spot. He says, break the pitcher. It says, the fire is going to come down. It says, just blow the shofar, and I'm going to make a confusion already, and they're going to panic, and they're going to run away. It says, that this is really just to teach us how you win a war. It says, you win a war not by many soldiers, you win a war b'zchut Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It says, that's what really Parashat Tekel, Hashem tells us, you know, you're going to Eretz Israel, to capture Eretz Israel. And Shachar says, don't be afraid, you're a nation. It says, no, you don't understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you and said that you should go to Israel not because of your zechut, not by Avotecha Hashak, who love you, great grandparents. This is the zechut, that's a hint that you're going to win the war. He says, Gideon really did that thing that he was hesitating. He says, but the power that he had, and you overcome it, yeah? That's the description, that is like grasshoppers, that you have to stand up the beach, you can even count them. He says, I'm not going with my zechut, I'm going with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. He says, that is, just to teach you, to win the enemy, can't be that you should have in your prayer. When you want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something for you, you should say, not bizchuti, not because of my zechut, bizchut Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. He says, that is, this is the zechut that Am Yisrael has and constantly is using. It's not only because their zechut, it says because, I emphasize, it's not my zechut, it's their zechut. As the Gemara said, when the person needs something, he should not take a zechut, please do it for me. If you do it, if you ask for myself, Akbaru doesn't do it. If you ask for somebody else, he'll do it for you. As I said, that's why Shmuel Levi wrote this description of the war, in order for us to know how to behave and capture our
Israel. Didn't you say that the Gemara says that we used up our
Zechut? Right. Mar said Zechut Avot, yes. Rima said Brit Avot Otam. Right. The thing is called Brit Avot Zechut Avot. Zechut Avot we use, Brit Avot. The next year is Wednesday after Labor Day.
One other question.
Hashem el Gideon. But it means...
What did you say, Hashem?
That's just Hashem. I really don't know why.
One other question. How does this explanation fit in with those who say there are four parts?
Oh, there's the four parts. Why is there four parts, you know?
It's supposed to be another Rav.
Esau was the pin number four. That's what it is. If Esav is the part of Esav because his head is Marat HaMakhtala, he is considered a part in Shammai or not.
Is that a bubble?